like to ask a few questions on the administration of child justice. I don't think that we have broached this at all. And I want to point out that the modern administration of child justice, compliant with international standards, is long overdue in Peru, because I note that since 2017 or 2018, we've been hearing that you're moving towards a specialized child justice system, a result of having developed the Code of Criminal Responsibility of Adolescents and Regulations. It appears this is still not in effect. So can you let us know what's happening, to what seemed to be a laudable initiative? From what I have been reading, this has now been put off once again to the timeline for this. Was at one stage April 2024, that is now being put off again. And we would like to know what is causing the delay. In fact, we are a bit alarmed because while that is happening, or that is being delayed, we are seeing that you're seeking to make a change to the law in terms of the age of criminal responsibility, because a bill, it is still at the stage of a bill, has been introduced, which will empower the state to try 16 and 17-year-olds as adults with possible sentences of up to 25 years or life. I take it that this is what would be limited if there's involvement with criminal gangs, or if they're convicted of having committed sexual crimes. But nevertheless, it would be very much a deviation from the standards that we set in the convention, and of therefore violation. And so I would like very much to hear from you as to why this move to violate what is established child rights and administrative justice. I also like to know if deprivation of liberty is still very frequently used without consideration of alternative sentencing. Because I know, of course, the report suggests that this was so, but you may need to update us here whether there's greater use made of mediation, probation, curfew, and supervision. We have reports that say that children and adolescents are sometimes sentenced up to 10 years under conditions which are very detrimental to their well-being. And this is without access to educational and health services. Again, we would like to have some explanation or clarification of this. We also learn that the children involved, hence from now on, that children involved in the criminal justice system, whether convicted or not, or whether they have a parental care or not, will be excluded from the social protection services. Again, this is a violation of child rights as articulated by our convention. And if you have been following our General Comment 24, you would see, of course, that this is very much outside what of the international standard. I also would like to know if legal aid is readily available to children and adolescents at the beginning and throughout the proceedings, and whether this is still, if it actually happens, and whether it is still in force. Is there any agency supervising the Centers for Enforcing Penalties? This was not clear from the reports. And of course, the lack of child-friendly or specialized courts, it seems to me to be causing, hampering the adjudication of cases involving children and adolescents, as well as the fact that there is no training of specialist judges. I gather also that this is hampered by the fact that there are not many such persons appointed. There's a high turnover of magistrates who deal with children, and as a result, none of them have had the opportunity to specialize in international norms where juvenile justice is concerned. That is really what I wanted to ask about. Sorry, one other point. I gather you have a national policy for adolescents at risk and in conflict with criminal law, and this goes up to 2030. But again, I am not hearing about the implementation of it and whether there's any funds have been allocated for the implementation. And this also holds true for the lack of funding for the interdisciplinary committees that would assist in the in conducting juvenile cases. I want to ask a couple of questions on education, because I gather from looking at the transcript that some of what I said yesterday might have been misunderstood. And I heard a comment earlier which suggests that it was misunderstood, and this is in relation to migrant children. I was concerned the fact that, yes, the children were welcome in schools, and they could register. My concern was that when it came to graduation, they couldn't graduate without the necessary papers unless they had an adult who could do this for them. And obviously we are concerned where unaccompanied children are having to rely on the kindness of strangers, because of course this exposes them to all kinds of risks. And that I wasn't sure that you had understood that that is my concern. Not that they're not limited from education, but can they graduate at the end of such education? I made a reference to a bill about the hiring of teachers who had been involved, not necessarily convicted, but involved in sexual abuse of children. They could not be hired. And I want to clarify that I was referring to 6431 of 2023, and whether in fact that bill is going to become a reality, or will it fall by the wayside? Because it's very important, obviously, that you hold with that, because that has a big, good development. I also wanted to suggest that when it came to, I noticed this misunderstanding as well, the comprehensive sexuality education, the point I was making there is that it would be good if it was mandatory in your schools. It will help you deal with teen pregnancy, but I am also concerned at what seems to be a pushback, where parents are now going to be allowed to have a say in what is in the curriculum, because I gather, and this is true for a number of countries, at least in our hemisphere, I'm aware of it, that there's a pushback from parents against comprehensive sexuality education. They don't want it taught. And if they have the ability to veto it, then it will counteract all that you've been trying to do in terms of comprehensive sexuality education, which I think is very necessary in a situation where there's high teen pregnancy. I also want to clarify that I heard mention of a number of very good initiatives in particular parts of Peru. But the one that I didn't hear of, I don't think you mentioned that what seems to be almost a center for trafficking in Peru, which is Madre de Dios. I haven't heard what you're doing in that area, because from the statistics, it seems as if much of the child trafficking is happening around that area. And so I was hoping that you can clarify that for me. Chair?